W naszym studiu jest już Rogerino. What's the difference between rock and roll and ambient music? You're kind of rock and roll person, as I can see.
I've got an element of rock in me, but I generally keep that to myself. I display to the world my ambient side and only go crazy at certain times.
Okay.
It's a planned craziness.
Okay, let me translate it. Zapytałem Rogera, jaka jest różnica między rock and rollem a ambientem, i powiedział, że ma w sobie oczywiście pierwiastek rock and rollowca, ale jednak światło pokazuje ten ambientowy bardziej aspekt, ale potrafi też zachowywać rock and rollowo. Speaking of ambient music, what does it mean? Because everyone is using this. Is it like a space? Is it?
It's a term that I don't use for my own music. It was a term that Brian used for his, my brother, and it was very accurate. It is very accurate for what he does. And I like the idea that there is a music made that makes the listener as important as the composer or the player of the music. It gives the person enough space, enough mental space to make their own ideas of what that is about. So,
Yeah, it's a long phrase. I try to remember. Bardziej terminologią muzyki ambient posługują się ludzie w odniesieniu bardziej do płyt jego brata, czyli Briana Eno, ale w odczuciu Rogera, co jest bardzo właściwe w odczuciu Rogera, natomiast jego zdanie na temat muzyki ambient to jest muzyka, dla której słuchacz jest tak samo ważny jak kompozytor, za sprawą pewnego rodzaju przestrzeni, która powstaje między słuchaczem a kompozytorem podczas słuchania. That's it. It's longer. In Polish.
There are many more letters in Polish, aren't there?
Więcej liter jest w języku polskim. Especially when you have to fill, you know, the application form.
Oh, gosh, and thanks for that, yes.
Yeah, właśnie, are you going to stay home? What are you going to do next 20 days?
Luckily, I have my studio at home. I have my long-term wife, and we get on very well. I have a dog, and we've got a garden. So I can walk around the garden and then go upstairs to make some music. And maybe my wife and I can eat together, but I'm not quite sure about the legalities of that.
Ponieważ Roger jest bohaterem tegorocznej edycji festiwalu Sound Edit i podda się kwarantannie po powrocie do Wielkiej Brytanii jutro. Zapytałem go, co zamierza robić przez najbliższe 20 dni. Szczęśliwie mieszka w domku z ogrodem, z wieloletnią żoną i z psem, więc będzie mógł wychodzić do ogródka z psem, ale nie do końca, a jeszcze na górze ma studio. Będzie chodził do studia i pracował nad zaległymi projektami.
Important.
Bardzo
yes.
Ważny element. Ale nie jest pewien, czy przepisy pozwalają mu zjeść kolację z żoną. We can check about the dinner, you know.
Yeah, you could. You could phone me up and see if we're eating together.
But, okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if we'd answer the phone if we're eating. I don't like answering. I don't like any communication, actually. And this is the truth. I never take my mobile phone, which is why I can't use it. You've tried to phone me and text me. I don't know how this works because I call it a stationary, which is the opposite to a mobile, because I just turn this off and leave it at home and go out on my bicycle and...
And the phone is at home?
Yes, all the time.
That's how stationary works?
Yeah.
Roger nie jest miłośnikiem nowoczesnych technologii i raczej stara się nie używać telefonu komórkowego, za to bardzo lubi telefon stacjonarny, ponieważ w czasie, kiedy idzie na rower, telefon zostaje w domu. What kind of... Speaking of the album, for a little while, coming back to this beautiful piece
sure.
of music,
yes.
Roger and Brian Eno mixing colors, which was released by the very famous Deutsche Grammophon
yes.
label. How is it possible that there is no live piano on this fantastic piano album? Speaking of technology.
Sure. Deutsche Grammophon have I was going to use the word Catholic, but that's not right. They've got a broad idea that they bring in new ideas of music onto that, what I remember as a purely classical label, because it had, you know, great people on it. We spoke earlier. For them, it's not how the music is made, it's whether it's good. And that's why there's not an acoustic piano, because at that time, I wasn't using it. Do you want to translate that bit?
Yes, please.
Yeah, see how grand...
Yeah, we were becoming friends. You know?
It's magnificent.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Maybe I will fly to London, to your place tomorrow.
No, you'd have to isolate.
I was thinking about the dinner, you know, in the studio. I can walk your dog if you like. Proszę Państwa, wracamy na serio do odpowiedzi Rogera. Deutsche Grammophon to była taka bardzo tradycyjna właśnie w podejściu wytwórnia płytowa, tylko wydająca muzykę klasyczną, ale od jakiegoś czasu to się zmieniło i wydają rzeczy dobre. Tak się też stało, że zaproponowali wydanie płyty braci Eno, ale na tej płycie nie ma ani jednego żywego fortepianu. What's the story about the piano then? So you were sending MIDI files to Brian?
I have, yes. What happened was, Brian is not only my brother, but he's my friend. So when I work in the morning, which I, at this time of Mixing Colours, I had a regime of waking up in the morning, going to my studio and improvising. And whatever came out, that would be what came out. So I'd send these to friends of mine, and one of them, these little pieces of the day, they were like postcards. Do you know that word, postcards?
Sure.
Like it captures a little moment. And I'd send this to friends, and one of them was Brian. Well, Brian collected these, and it soon became apparent that this was becoming a complete collection. I then, on his request, started sending MIDI files, which allowed him to modify, very beneficially, the things that I'd sent him.
Just correct me if I'm wrong. You were sending him just notes? Or ideas? Or
I didn't know what they were. These were postcards. This was what I was up to today. It's like visiting a seaside. You write someone a postcard.
Yeah, but was there anything about the idea of the music? No.
No, none at all.
Okay. No więc cała historia zaczęła się tak, że po pierwsze mój brat Brian nie jest tylko moim bratem, ale również moim przyjacielem. I w którymś momencie zacząłem wysyłać różnym moim przyjaciołom pocztówki z różnych miejsc. No i Brian zaczął je kolekcjonować i to się stało jakby przyczynkiem do tego, że poprosił mnie, żebym zaczął wysyłać mu pliki MIDI, czyli zapis nutowy utworów. No i potem on zaczął je przerabiać, zupełnie czasami zaskakująco i w sposób absolutnie dziwny. I tak właśnie powstała ta płyta. You have this kind of a diary with you. Does it mean that you're writing everything all the time?
Not all the time, but I've got a terrible memory. I really can't remember very much at all. So if I see something or I think of a poem or something like this, I write poetry, not particularly great, but I write some of that. I wrote one yesterday.
In Łódź?
It was coming here.
Oh, okay.
It was when I realised that I was for the first time, I was the oldest person on a bus.
how they check it, you know?
Well, I looked around. There were people like look at you. You're all younger than me, and it comes to a point in your life when you realise that you're the oldest person in the room. And of course, this then leads you on to mortality and these.
Come on.
No, not gloom. No, not misery. I'm happy with that.
Okay.
I really am fine with it. But it just makes you realize when the switch has been.
Okay.
Yeah.
May I translate it now?
Of course.
Zapytałem Rogera, bo nosi ze sobą taki kajecik w starym stylu, gdzie zapisuje różne rzeczy. Ja zresztą miałem okazję go widzieć. Zapisał tam sobie nazwę piwa, które bardzo mu smakowało, naszego lokalnego, polskiego. Nie mogę powiedzieć oczywiście tego na antenie, ale sobie zażyczył właśnie, żeby takie wypić. No i w tym notesiku zapisuje różne rzeczy, między innymi wiersze. I właśnie wczoraj w drodze do Łodzi napisał wiersz, ponieważ uświadomił sobie, że był po raz pierwszy w życiu uświadomił sobie, że jest najstarszą osobą w autobusie. Zapytałem go, jak to możliwe. No myślałem, że po prostu zobaczył, że jest najstarszy i właśnie włączył mu się taki włącznik, który nie ma nic wspólnego z tym, że się z tym źle czuje. Czuję się z tym świetnie, a zachowuje się zdecydowanie młodziej z tego, co mogą też Państwo zobaczyć, niż wielu naszych młodych znajomych. Okej.
This is going great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Maybe we can run a show together, you know?
Why not?
I'm the youngest.
You see? Yeah, oh, that means that I should be in old speed. I should earn more than you.
You mean the language or?
I guess I have to pay you for translation.
Well, we can try to do it, you know.
We could get a deal.
So, what about the album? Are you happy with the result? How much Brian is on the album and how much Roger is on the album? Is it like 50-50 deal?
It's impossible to say that because music isn't about percentages. It really isn't. It's about if you take... You too, I think, had a very simple understanding about this in terms of financial. This isn't about input. They just split whatever they got between the four... In fact, five of them. They included their manager. Mm-hmm. So that was an easy thing. They just said, this is what we are, so we'll just split it like that.
Okay.
But actually, when it comes to the art of it, it's clear in U2 that it's Bono and The Edge that are the primary writers, I think. I don't think Larry and Adam...
I have another opinion about that, but maybe I can translate it first. Zapytałem Rogera, ile jest, że tak powiem, Rogera, a ile Briana na tej nowej płycie Mixing Colors. No co Roger odpowiedział, że muzyka to nie kwestia podziałów procentowych, tylko kwestia czegoś zupełnie innego, bo na przykład zespół YouTube postanowił już od samego początku wszystko podzielić wspólnie, wszystkie tantiemy i wszystkie zapisy, łącznie ze swoim menadżerem i właściwie nie ma to znaczenia, bo jest to zespół i... Pomimo, że wszyscy wiemy, że to Bono i Edge głównie komponują. Ja pozwoliłem się jednak nie zgodzić. In my opinion, very important part was when they met Dan and your brother. Mm-hmm. I was when Dan came here for the first edition of Sound Edit in 2009, yeah. I was just very near to everything he was doing, like the sound of his guitar. And suddenly sure. I realized that the whole sound of U2 is nothing more than just variation about Dan and Lenoir sound, you know.
I wouldn't comment on that.
Okay, let's stop. Yeah. I'll just briefly translate it. Powiedziałem, że moim zdaniem Daniel Lanois, producent zespołu U2 i przyjaciel również Briana i no, nasz gość pierwszy festiwalu Sound Edit jest moim zdaniem sprawcą tego, że U2 brzmi tak, jak brzmi, ale nie idźmy aż tak daleko.
When it comes to my brother and I, where is the split? He does completely other things to those that I do. And this record wouldn't have appeared had it not been for the two of us. Literally that. The pieces that I wrote would stand up on their own, and the production techniques that Brian allowed would stand up on their own, but they would not be together. So put them together, and that's what you have. So I'd say, yeah, genuinely, it's a 50. He would have spent more time on his bit.
Yeah, because you just wrote the piece, and then he did the rest, yes?
Yeah, exact. Yeah. And in trust, I know his work, and I've known him, well, you know, forever.
Yeah, of course, forever.
But I trusted that whatever he did would be good. So there wasn't any kind of idea that... this is mine, or, you know, what bit do I own of this? Between Brian and myself, there is never that question. And he genuinely is an extremely modest and, I'll use the word again, democratic person.
Okay, it's hard to translate that, but I'll try. Sam się trochę zagubiłem, proszę
Państwa. Oh, just say something else.
That's a good idea. Zagubiłem się trochę w tym, co powiedział Roger, bo właściwie to jest taka historia, która się teraz dzieje na naszych oczach na żywo zupełnie. Tutaj w studiu są też nasi przyjaciele, którzy obserwują, co tu się dzieje i dzieją się rzeczy magiczne zupełnie w tych bardzo trudnych dla nas czasach. Otóż Roger powiedział, że właściwie współpraca ze swoim bratem jest bardzo demokratyczna i że Brian jest niezwykle skromnym człowiekiem, któremu oczywiście ufa i że właściwie większość pracy wykonał Brian z uwagi na to, że Roger tak naprawdę tylko napisał jakieś utwory. Speaking of my dream, as I told you, how to bring one of the most important album in the history of music, in my opinion, talking about Apollo.
Of course, yeah.
Three of you, Brian, Roger, and Daniel Lanois, you recorded a fantastic piece of music.
I think it's 83.
It's 83, but I know that, but I don't know, what should I ask you about this album, because it came out as a special re-release last year because of the 50th anniversary of Moon Landing. During the process of working, did you have any idea that you're doing a groundbreaking ambient, whatever, music record?
For myself, not at all. Before that, all I wanted to do from the age of 12 was to make a living out of music, and I didn't care really how I did it. So you laughingly call yourself, I won't, you can translate that if you wish, you know, how you get money out of people. All I wanted to do was make a living out of music, so I played in restaurants, in nightclubs, in busking in the streets. It was all fine. I was
With a piano?
No, not in the street. No, I play guitar as well. I play accordion, lots of other instruments. From memory, I sent Brian a 90-minute cassette at this time.
That will be hard to translate to the young generation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe I can translate briefly now?
Sure.
Zapytałem Rogera o płytę, która dla mnie i nie tylko dla mnie jest jedną z najważniejszych płyt w historii muzyki, nie tylko ambient, płyty Apollo, która ukazała się w roku 1983, a nagrali ją Brian Eno, Roger Eno i Daniel Lanois. I ta płyta ukazała się również w specjalnej reedycji w zeszłym roku z uwagi i z okazji 50. rocznicy lądowania na Księżycu. I zapytałem go, czy wtedy, kiedy tworzyli ten album, mieli w ogóle świadomość, że tworzą dzieło wybitne i takie ponadczasowe, na co Roger odpowiedział, że już w wieku lat 12 postanowił, że będzie robił wszystko, żeby żyć z muzyki. Grał na różnych instrumentach, w pubach, w klubach, na ulicy. A zaczął historię z tego, że nagrał 90-minutową kasetę. Let's come back to the tape, to the cassette.
So at that time, I was very interested in music that didn't really do anything, that didn't go anywhere. So I'd be...
But what does it mean? That you can't dance to it?
No, you can barely... Yes, of course not. Dance to it. Of course not.
So useless music?
I wouldn't say useless, but there was very little in it. It started and it just went... until it ended. And I sent this, like the similar thing with Mixing Colours, to my brother, because he is my brother. And that kind of... that struck him as a good idea, because it chimed. It chimed means he saw the point in it, because that's the kind of music that he was working on at the time. My influence was people like Eric Satie, walking in the street, and you know, I wouldn't say John Cage, but it was a kind of...
So everything could be a music. This is this kind of idea that every sound could be something special?
Not that particularly, but that music could be different than entertaining.
Okay.
That was my thing. And that worked with Brian's way of thinking. So I sent him this CD. He invited me to work with Danny and himself in Canada. I was kind of going there just to meet my brother and to do some work.
Okay.
I had no idea what we had.
But what was on this cassette you sent? Was it a piece of the album?
Oh God, no.
No.
It was. How would you say it? Virtually nothing happening.
Okay, let me translate it. Praca nad płytą Apollo zaczęła się w taki sposób, że Roger nagrał muzykę, którą wtedy, do której miał takie podejście, że muzyka nie powinna, czy też nie musi służyć niczemu. To trochę trudno jest przetłumaczyć teraz jakby w kontekście tego, że w ogóle to się dzieje na żywo, ale myślę, że państwo, którzy znają angielski, złapali tą ideę, że muzyka, która właściwie nie do końca służyć rozrywce. No i wysłał taką taśmę do swojego brata, który zaprosił go do współpracy z Danielem Lanois i pracowali wtedy w Kanadzie. Roger przyleciał tam, żeby spotkać się z bratem. Speaking of this famous, we spoke about it today, but you flied into Canada and there was a surprise at the airport.
Oh, this is a great story. My brother and Danny Lanois and myself, we love jokes and playing jokes on people. My uncle was a great liar. Brian claims...
Professional liar?
No, not for gain. He just loved telling stories, but really good stories that you'd believe him until you, right at the end, you'd think...
Oh. But does it mean that he came to your, when you were kids, he came to your house and was telling stories? This kind of entertaining?
I ended up living next door to my uncle. So we knew each other for years. So we have this ability to make people believe what we want them to believe. And the key to that is inhabiting another persona. So you forget who you are. I'm not Roger from England anymore. I'm someone that you've never met with a different accent that maybe works in...
So it's like a role play.
Precisely.
I will translate it very briefly.
Yeah.
Cała historia, która zdarzyła się na lotnisku, kiedy Roger wylądował w Kanadzie właśnie... Zaraz opowie, co tam się zdarzyło na tym lotnisku, ale zaczął od tego, że mieli wujka, który był znakomitym łgarzem, bo to chyba tak można powiedzieć, takim rozrywkowym wujem. Był taki wujek, pamiętam, w Mikołajku, który też robił różne żarty. Chyba wujek Eugeniusz się nazywał. A w każdym razie mieli wujka, który jakby zajmował się tym, że wszystkich rozbawiał. W końcu zamieszkali koło wujka i w jakiś tam sposób chyba to też wpłynęło na to, że mają znakomite poczucie humoru. I lubią odgrywać pewne role. No i takie odegranie ról zdarzyło się na lotnisku w Toronto w roku 1983. Toronto. Was it Toronto?
Yes, I think it was. So I land at the airport, and it's not a really long flight from London, but it's enough to make you tired and not really on the ball. And Michael Brook, who's driving the car, introduces me, and he says, Brian and Danny can't be here, but I've got to take these two people to Hamilton, which is only a few miles from Toronto. And these two people look like they look like ex kind of rocker, drug, fucked up people. Their hair's wrong, and they've got leather, really horrible clothes on. So I go in the car and sit next to these. One I can't remember the name of, but the other is called Jay, which is a kind of rock name, you know. And he's got this really manky means bad, hair colour. And I look at him and we look at each other. Hi, hi, hi. Yeah. And the car goes along and... As the journey continues, I start to see Jay's... He's got a moustache, this Jay. I start to see his moustache move, which isn't a natural thing. And then I look, and every time he's doing... And I think maybe he's got a coke habit. You know, where he's just sniffing all the time. But this moustache... I look at this and I think, that's my brother. He's put on this whole uniform of deception. And as has Dan Lanois. And I have never been fooled better than that. It was just magnificent.
Proszę Państwa, to jest historia, o której rzeczy pisze się, która zapisała się w historii muzyki. Otóż na lotnisku w Toronto Michael Brook, znakomity muzyk, przyjeżdża, żeby odebrać Rogera Eno, który ma pojechać na sesję, ale mówi, że Daniel Lanois i Brian Eno nie mogą go odebrać, bo są zajęci, ale dwóch gości musi się z nim zabrać samochodem do Hamilton. Okazuje się, że ci dwaj goście wyglądają jak tacy trochę podstarzali, troszeczkę zaniedbałe gwiazdy rocka, mają wąsy, jakieś takie dziwne włosy, przebranie, buty na koturnie. No jadą sobie tym samochodem, no i nie pamiętam, jak pierwszy miał na imię, ale drugi miał na imię Jay. No i okazuje się, że im bardziej jadą, tym przywitali się jakoś tak chłodno, tam hi, hi, cześć, cześć. I okazuje się, że raptem Jayowi zaczyna się ruszać nieco wąsik, co wydaje się być takie dziwne, ale ma taki jakiś odruch takiego dziwnego posmaku, jakby był uzależniony od pewnej substancji, której nie można kupić w aptece na literę K. No i on tak robi tym nosem, po czym okazuje się, ten wąsik mu się rusza, na co Roger raptem odwraca się i widzi, kurczę, to jest mój brat Brian. Nigdy w życiu nikt nie zrobił mi lepszego numeru.
For the previous maybe 2 days or a week, they had looked for really bad clothes and wigs. So the studio time of Apollo, a lot of it was taking up in charity shops. Yeah.
Większość czasu z tego wynika, że przy nagraniu płyty Apollo nie zajmowali się chłopcy nagrywaniem muzyki, tylko zajmowali się szukaniem jakichś przedziwnych ciuchów w sklepach po prostu z używaną odzieżą, po to, żeby zrobić wrażenie. Is there any footage of this? No.
No.
Nie ma żadnych zdjęć niestety.
No, it's like good jokes, they come and go.
Yeah, but we are making it eternal now.
In people's imagination.
Yeah, but we love it. That's why we're doing it.
What sure, we're doing. Yeah. But I can't supply you with any footage. The great thing about that record, I'd been visiting Brian for years, you know, we'd known each other for ages and got on. But that was the first time that we met as equals. There's 11 years between us. Brian, believe it or not, is older than me. but it was then, at that point, we worked on a territory that we were, again, the word equal in. You know, we were doing something as partners. And the bits of the Apollo project that you don't see is when the work was done and just being us being idiots. And I understand David Bowie has a similar experience with my brother, because there are two sides to Brian and actually two sides to myself, that when you're doing your work, that's what you are. And your work is obviously a part of your life. For me, it's a product of my life. Do you want to stop?
No, 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 sure. I'm just trying to play some piece of music till the end of the... But let's continue. We're talking about big things, you know?
Are we?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know what big is, actually. This is just a little someone doing a little something, in my opinion.
But it stays in people's hearts and...
That's true. That's true. Which is the blessing of... And it's only a term that I've become comfortable with over the last few weeks or months of being an artist. I never liked the term artist. It kind of implies an importance. Musician, I was happy with. But I've suddenly realised that everyone else thinks I'm an artist, so it's about time I ought to catch up.
To bardzo trudno przetłumaczyć, ale zacznijmy może od tego ostatniego zdania, że przez wiele lat Roger bardziej traktował siebie jako muzyka, nie jako artysta. Te ostatnie miesiące pokazują, że jednak słowo artysta jest ważne, ale wcześniej było dużo różnych rzeczy dotyczących też płyty Apollo. który chyba w tej chwili nie jestem w stanie już przetłumaczyć, bo kończy nam się trochę czas. Myślę, że do tej rozmowy jeszcze wrócimy choćby we wtorkowej Muzyce Miasta po 22, na którą już teraz gorąco zapraszam, a chciałbym, żebyśmy jeszcze do końca posłuchali chociaż jednego chyba z najbardziej znanych fragmentów utworu z płyty Apollo. Roger, I think that we will stop here, which is very hard for me, because first of all, I would like to thank you for everything that you saved us. You're amazing, and thank you for coming. The performance was awesome.
Did it work?
Yeah, a lot. Especially tonight, in this particular situation, worldwide, Poland, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You gave us hope.
Oh, bless
because
you.
Because you're an artist, you know? That's how it works. I'm super serious. I love you. Thank you very much.
What could I say?
We can listen to Deep Blue Day, you know?
Oh, that's great. That's the track that bought me my house.
Okay, let's do it again. Roger Eno.
Hey, thank you very much indeed.